Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 35 of Not Quite Hollywood. I'm Jamie.
I'm August, and go see Shin Godzilla.
I'm John.
Can they see it at this point?
Yeah, it's in a... Well, no. I mean, not the point of this release.
Yeah, it'll be like...
I wish you saw Shin Godzilla.
Hunt it down on VOD or foreign Blu-rays or something. Buy a Japanese Blu-ray player just for this movie, right?
I mean, I'm one of those that would be tempted to do it.
But yeah, we're going to talk about our communal film today, a little shorter episodes, but we're looking at the film we've talked about a while back, Big Fish, which is Tim Burton's 2003 film written by John August.
It's about fishing?
Yeah, right. Just about fishing, honestly.
Just all fishing.
About catfishing. Not about the catfish movie, just about catfishing.
What about catfishing catfishes?
Oof,
that's deep.
I don't know where to go with that. But yeah, so the film is I like these movies where you have two people playing the same person at different lives points in their life.
Yeah.
I guess what was it, Love and Mercy, that Brian Wilson movie, the same way, which I haven't seen yet.
Paul Dano and
John Cusack.
John Cusack.
Albert Finney plays the older version of Edward Bloom, and then the younger version is played by Ewan McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
And it cuts back and forth between the times. Billy Crudup plays the adult version of his son. As a kid, he was told stories of all these fantastical things that his dad had experienced while on the road doing his jobs and all that. And as an adult, you see him bitter because he's heard all these stories a million times before. He goes through, he can recite them word for word because his dad's consistently saying the same story in the same way.
Yeah.
And he gets frustrated because he wants to know what really happened. Like, what really went on when he was a kid. And, like, I guess there was later on to find out he had thought his dad was cheating on his mom all these years. Like, you know, there's a lot of things, a lot of perception from Billy Crudup's character, projected onto his dad. So you cut back and forth as a viewer between his stories, you know, that they would have more fantastical elements. Like, there's a pair of twins that are conjoined twins in the fantasy, you know, all these different things. Like
the giant. Really,
yeah, the giant, right? The small town that he finds in the middle of nowhere in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about his stories are like, magical, and that makes sense why Tim Burton was the one to direct this.
Because
at the time, he hadn't really faltered too much yet. This is like right before he started going downhill hard, because Sleepy Hollow was good.
Yeah. Oh, quality-wise. Okay, yeah. I'd say style-wise, I mean, it's still a little, you can tell it's Tim Burton.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think this is the type of movie that Tim Burton, these are the type of movies Tim Burton should do now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we all love Beetlejuice and Sleepy Hollow and all those movies, but their time has passed, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When he keeps trying to, you know, capture that again, it's just not there anymore. I look back at, like, Ed Wood is an amazing film that he's done, you know what I mean? And
never seen it.
Oh, it's
really?
Great film. Great film.
Oh, man, you love that film. That's, like, one of his best films ever.
Yeah.
I want to see Ed Wood films.
I want to see, after I watched Ed Wood, I went out and watched Ed Wood films, and it was interesting to see that, you know, paying homage to this director that was just so bad, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But still got his name, you know, immortalized for it, you know.
Huh. It's funny that you say that about him going back to those movies, because he did, but no one knows anything about it.
Is it the Big Eyes movie?
Yep.
I haven't seen that one yet.
And it went down hard.
I heard it wasn't a really good... Well, I don't know if it was the character. It wasn't really, like, well-developed. Even if it was based on real events. But, like, the poster stuff, like, the Big Eyes concept was, like, Tim Burton. But it wasn't enough of his kind of style. That's what I heard. I haven't seen it yet. I have it on freaking Voodoo. I gotta watch
it. Yeah, that's insane. Like, no one's really seen it.
Yeah.
Like,
now, was Big Eyes something original from him, or was it he adapting something?
I think it was just based on a true story.
Yeah.
This wife is the real artist, and her husband, who's kind of abusive, Christoph Waltz.
Yeah.
And who's the actress again?
Is it Nicole Kidman?
No, wait. Damn it. Anyway.
I think Nicole Kidman's in it, but yeah.
It's not Kate Winslet. It's some blonde. But he takes the credit for her work, and he becomes, like, rich and famous, and he's really just a shitty person. And it's her... Oh, it's Amy Adams. Yeah. So it's not a blonde. It's a redhead.
Yep, Amy Adams.
So he takes her credit. And I guess the story, I don't know what happens. I like going into these based on true events stories not knowing what happened. So there's that element of surprise. But the trailer has a little bit of his flair to it. But, what are your thoughts on Big Fish? How far do you want to go?
I mean, I have a lot of thoughts, but I'll let August go first.
Good, because I have very little. It's a movie. It's a decent movie. Like, it's not a bad movie. I wouldn't say it, like, and that's why I don't have much to say about it. It's because I can't trash it.
Yay.
Yay, finally, one movie that I can't trash. It's just, I watched it a long time ago.
Yeah.
And then, like, rewatching it, it didn't have as much of an impact. The ending still has its impact of just, like, when the son is telling the story. You know, story to the father. Like, despite the multiple viewings, like, if you let that movie rest for several years and go back to it, that still hits pretty damn hard.
Oh, absolutely.
But leading up to that, it was just kind of like, okay. I wasn't really intrigued or as pulled in as I was the first time. One thing that I found a lot funnier was there in that town, or Ewan McGregor's in that town.
Yeah.
And they're all sitting around that table in rocking chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like that kind of deadpan humor of them just like rocking back and forth in their chairs. As a Steve Buscemi,
yeah.
And someone else. And I like that. Like, that was pretty funny. And then, like, the shot on their legs. I kind of hate the son.
Yeah, he's a whiny little bitch. I mean, they has to have an arc. Like, he has to understand why. But I get what his, like, his reasoning, but he's so over the top about it.
Exactly. Like, I mean, I'll have my parents, they'll tell me a story, and it's like, yeah, I've heard it before. Or, you know, I'll just say, oh, yeah, you know, I remember that story. And I mean, I guess it's kind of dickish to cut him off on that, but it's just like, hey, you know, yeah, I remember. But to him, just, like, have a complete falling out just because his dad
wouldn't
tell these stories, it's like...
Well, I think it's because he felt his entire life overshadowed by his father's stories, and he was never a part of these stories.
Mm-hmm. He was only a footnote, he said.
He was just a footnote in it, yeah. It wasn't until, like, at the end when he's telling the story and he finishes the story with his father that he becomes part of the thing and, you know, kind of gets a new perspective on it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that he needs to implement himself in the story, not necessarily just sit there and be a whiny bitch about
it. Well, he felt he was never a part of it.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, but the thing is that what's genius with this storyline is the Edward Bloom character, he already knew the ending of the story when he was a kid.
Yeah.
Because the three kids...
Oh, yeah.
And this is one of my favorite parts because it takes, like, the whole idea of the hero's journey and all the different steps, and it flips it around and mixes it all up. And the reason is because when the three kids go see the witch, and the witch shows each one of them how they're going to die, the first two kids, like, flip out, you know, and run away. Edward Bloom, though, when he finds out how he's going to die, and the witch is, like, walking away expecting him to just freak out and run away too, he says, well, I guess if you know how you're going to die, then you can do anything else in your life and it won't kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And she turns around and smirks at him like he gets it. He gets the gift. She's not a scary, evil witch.
Mm-hmm.
And having knowledge of your death isn't a bad thing. It's actually a good thing
because
that shows that you're completely, the shackles are off. You can do whatever you want. You're going to survive it.
Mm-hmm.
And which is, you know, not usually the case with a typical hero's journey story. It's usually, you know, step by step, this is what happens. And then, but to have knowledge of your own death, then you can go do whatever you want in your life.
Yeah.
And know you're going to survive it.
I guess that kind of helped with his character and, like, leaving town and going all on these, like, maybe true stories.
But it throws, and what it does is it almost throws his timeline out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
Because now that he has this knowledge, and he just, when he leaves town and travels and finds that little village, they tell him that he's early to visit the village. And you have Helena Bonham Carter's character as a little girl,
mm-hmm.
and meets him. Now, if he would have followed his typical path and arrived there in the time he was supposed to, he would have ended up with her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was the other love interest for him.
But
because he was able to break his own destiny, I guess, and do what he wanted, it threw everything out of whack, and he ends up meeting Jessica Lange's character,
mm-hmm.
who he falls in love with. And this is referenced back when he goes back to the small town and starts rebuilding it,
mm-hmm.
and starts rebuilding Helena Bonham Carter's house, where you can tell there's love there. Like, she loves him, and it's like this missed opportunity. Like, yep. they were destined to be together, but he was able to break his destiny and go do what he wanted.
See, now here's the weird thing, though. Helen Bonham Carter is also the witch.
Yeah.
She's also, she becomes the witch.
And they don't talk about that. She plays two roles, yeah. but they never say it's the same person, which you think, as you're watching it, it's the same person.
Okay.
But is it the same house, though?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the same house.
Because
yeah.
he also said... I don't understand. You should be much younger. Like he said it like as if she's the same person, but it was a weird way of like.
Well, it's another way of looking at like time isn't a straight line.
Yeah,
Everything is loops back on itself, kind of. That's the reason I love the movie is because of that, taking the hero's journey and breaking it up and saying, well, what happens if they don't follow this path? What if they don't go where they're destined to be at the right time? Mm-hmm. And how do their lives play out?
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny, like, let's say you take the idea, the fantastical thing, like, he knew his own death. So, the whole time, he wasn't worried about including his son in the story because he knew he'd be there at the end.
Yeah.
Where you could think about the realistic version of that is where, I would die surrounded by my family or my son or my family or children or whatever.
Yeah, because he knew the end of the story. He knew at the end was his son was going to read him the story on his deathbed. You know what I mean? To have that. Mm-hmm. He knew that already. So would you tell your son that, though, growing up, if your son felt like he was overshadowed or out of place?
Well, that's what... and they fought. He's like, you're a part of the story. You're a part of the story. Like, because he knew the whole story.
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Well, maybe it's because, like, there's this son's, like, focal point is on himself.
Yeah.
Where he's like, oh, well, I need to be in this whole entire story.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, son, you know me.
Yeah.
If you've known me your whole entire life. So you know that I haven't gone on, like, these fantastical journeys. Like, I mean, I guess it could kind of be a statement on, you know, having kids and a family is it kind of ties you down. You're not able to leave and go and experience odd ends of the world.
And that, and the funeral scene is where you see that there's evidence that the stories, most of them or some of them, have been either exaggerated or changed because, like, the Siamese twin girls
are just twins.
You know, things like that.
The circus ringmaster, Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
And the giant is real.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's not...
super massive.
He's not super giant. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting how... I had something I forgot. I figured if I start talking, it would come out.
I'll jump in then with another point.
Yeah, go for it.
A really great element in this is the message of the giant is just... Really, he's just lonely, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And then Danny DeVito's character, who's a werewolf... When Edward Bloom's younger version accepts him, you know what I mean? Just accepts who he is. And there's that great message in it, and I can't remember it word for word, when it says some people that are considered dark or evil are really, a lot of times, just lonely or scared or something like
that. Yeah.
You know, and that's just how it comes out. You know, I like that message a lot.
Anyway. Yeah, that's cool. Interesting, the hero's journey, like, so Edward goes through all this stuff, but he doesn't really have an arc. The son has the arc, which is interesting.
Because
Edward's definitely the main character, but he doesn't have the arc that typical films do.
Yeah.
I think it's because he did circumvent the entire journey.
Exactly. He knew it.
And that guy who also saw his own death, he died in the toilet, had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
He was always jealous of Edward because Edward saw how he's going to die. So he had this courage, this confidence that the other guy couldn't understand. He was always in fear.
Yeah.
So he couldn't enjoy life, embrace it, and be himself. So he was always behind Edward in the shadow, and Edward just was just, he had all the confidence he could ever need, and he was just, it just emanated in it, and people are attracted to that, so.
Yeah, he just became like a just happy-go-lucky, whatever happens.
Yeah.
And
if you were shown that you were going to die by a heart attack while shitting in a toilet, what if you just never shat in a toilet? And just always went outside.
That's always a great, like Twilight Zone type thing. I've seen that, some idea, or I've had an idea like that before, where it's like, you're trying to tempt fate, but because you do that so much, one day you just have to go to the bathroom, and like, you have to shit, and I'm like, fuck, oh no,
this is it.
It's too late, I'm nervous, I'm freaking out about it, and then you cause your own death.
Yeah. I don't know, like, even if I was at some, like, person's place, or whatever, some friend's house, and I was like, oh man, I really got to shit right now. I would shit on their floor. And I would explain the whole entire time, being like, when I was a little kid, this witch showed me in her eye how I was going to die, and it was shitting on a toilet. So do you want me to shit on your carpet, or do you want me to go die on your toilet?
You have a bucket?
Oh,
you have
a
bucket?
A
potted plant?
Why do we have a carpet in the toilet, in the bathroom? That's really bad.
I said living room.
Okay.
Just right there in the living room.
I'd be like, what the fuck, August?
Use a then I would explain. You'd probably be like,
I'll buy a bedpan. Right, just don't fucking shit my floor again. You know how hard it takes to clean shit out of the rug?
Can I have a spatula?
Oh, bring your own. Shit outside like a dog, you fucker.
Oh, yeah, I'll go shit outside.
I didn't know this. Miley Cyrus was in this movie.
What did she play?
Fuck. Ruthie? Do you remember which character Ruthie is?
I still look.
Probably the one of the little girls.
The little girls, tent. But yeah.
She's the one that grabs the shoes and throws them?
I think so. But is Ruthie also Helena Bonham Carter's character?
I think so. Oh, the one playing the piano. Maybe that's the Miley Cyrus character.
Let's see.
When the son goes to see Helen Bonham Carter.
Yeah, I think it's the...
I don't remember fucking seeing her face at all. Like I
Oh, she was... When they went to see the witch, the three of them.
Yeah.
And there was a little girl that was with them.
Oh, weird. Oh,
really? Wow.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Huh. Man, I guess we can blame Tim Burton.
I don't like that.
Because if this movie career. Would have sucked ass and, you know, made zero money, maybe she wouldn't have become popular.
I blame the casting directors for Hannah Montana. They picked her. People can get relegated to bit roles like this all the time.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And never make it.
Well, what if Miley Cyrus would have died on set?
Damn.
As she was running away in that little forest, she tripped on a tree branch and bam!
Oh, well, it's just some little girl. We don't know who's going to be. We should blame Billy Ray Cyrus for not only for Achy Breaky Heart, but making her.
God, why can't you just
run at the same time?
Billy Ray Cyrus, next time, pull out, please.
Jesus. Go back in time and pull out.
Go back in time and pull out.
Gross.
Or wear a condom.
So, a funny little note that I always like think of every time I edit a podcast, I see John and August. I always think of the writer John August now. Always. Because you guys are his name. It's just a weird thing I always see. Like, it's funny. I chose his movie. One of his movies he's written.
Oh, he wrote this movie. I was like, sorry. Okay, who's John August? Like,
he's written Go.
He's a writer?
He's written Go. I think he wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which is not good. Go with Timothy Oliphant.
That sounds slightly familiar.
Yeah, like late 90s.
Yeah.
Sarah Pauly. It's like a drug deal that gone wrong, and then the hotel room on fire and that kind of stuff.
I can see the DVD cover.
Yeah. It's a good movie.
It has orange on it or something.
Yeah, I never saw it.
It's good. I recommend it. That was his first Hollywood production.
That's weird.
Doug Liman directed it.
Who?
Doug Liman?
Yeah.
Born Identity, the first one. He did Live, Die, Repeat, Edge of Tomorrow, which was...
Wow.
Yeah. He's been around for a while.
Doing a whole lot, it seems like.
No. But any closing thoughts on Big Fish?
I wish Ian McGregor was in more things.
Yeah, less like prequels and more good stuff.
Yeah, he's in... I see what you did there. He's going to be in a sequel.
What? Trainspotting, yeah.
Too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. All right, well, that's this episode.
That's Big Fish. Lots to say. Are we doing a communal movie at the next episode?
Yeah.
Next episode? All right.
But, yeah, so thanks for tuning in to this brief episode. Follow us on Facebook, Not Quite Hollywood. Questions, notquitepod@gmail.com. Find August on the streets.
Dealing smack and taking dick.
Whoa.
Gotta get money somehow.
It's like a requirement. We have to go really fucked up at the end.
And usually I'm the one doing fucked up things. Is that it?
You'll find me in a bar somewhere.
All right. Yeah. Alcohol. All right. Well, anyway, I'm Jamie.
I'm a crack whore. August.
John.
The crack whore.
The crack whore.
Have a good night, people.
Later.